जानी कृष्णेर स्वरूप अंतर्यामी भक्त श्रेष्ठ एतुवी अरूप। वन शुड नो द इंस्ट्रक्टिंग स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर टू बी द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ कृष्णा। लॉर्ड कृष्णा मैनिफेस्ट हिमसेल्फ एज द सुपर सोल एंड एज द ग्रेटेस्ट डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड। Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that the instructing spiritual master is a bona fide representative of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna himself teaches us as the instructing spiritual master from within and without. From within he teaches us Paramatma, our constant companion. And from without, he teaches from Bhagavad Gita as the instructing spiritual master. There are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person, fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service. And the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. Thus, the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and subjective ways of understanding. The acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. I will read this again. There are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person, fully absorbed in meditation on devotional service. And the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. Thus, the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and subjective ways of understanding. The acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches this disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. When by learning from the self-realized spiritual master one actually engages himself in the service of Lord Vishnu, functional devotional service begins. The procedures of this devotional service are known as abhideya, or action one is duty-bound to perform. Our only shelter is the Supreme Lord, and one who teaches how to approach Krishna is the functioning form of the personality of Godhead. There is no difference between the shelter-giving Supreme Lord and the initiating and instructing spiritual masters. If one foolishly discriminates between them, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada is here amplifying this beautiful prayer by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The Vyas Puja of his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has written a beautiful, beautiful offering in which he explains that the acharya is one, although manifested in many ways and through many voices. So here it is describing that one should not discriminate between the essence of Krishna, his words, the essence of the teaching of the instructing spiritual masters, and the essence of the initiating spiritual masters, mercy upon the disciple. Because that mercy is one, the spirit is one, the substance is one, although the form may differ. And as we were explaining in previous discussions, according to the particular form, we must have a particular formal relationship. But in the heart of the spirit, we should see no difference. And of course, how Krishnadas Kaviraj in his own life is exemplifying this. We read here in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kaviraj Goswami is accepting Lord Nityananda Prabhu as his initiating guru. But at the end of every chapter, he prays, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Aridas, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara As, Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Now, just 2 days back, we were reading how Kaviraj Goswami is accepting the 6 Goswamis as his instructing spiritual masters. And yet, at each chapter, he ends with this prayer to his instructing spiritual masters. So we can understand his spirit. And therefore, Bande Ham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Guru. He's offering those obeisances to the spiritual masters in plural form, which means that he has the supreme respect and love for his initiating guru, Nityananda Prabhu. But he accepts that by his mercy, he has brought me to the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. And if I do not show them the proper love and respect, then actually I am not showing proper respect for the person who has sent them. And in this way, he is illustrating through his wonderful and prayerful life how one must really and truly offer one's heart and one's devotion to all those personalities who are truly taking their time and energy to help us to become Krishna conscious. We have an eternal debt to any, whether it be a god brother, whether it be a god uncle, whether it be a god sister, whoever it may be, anyone who is truly inspiring us and enlightening us in the science of Krishna consciousness, like Kaviraj Goswami, we should feel that we have an eternal debt of gratitude to such a merciful Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada is describing there are 2 types of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person, fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service. And the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. So here we find the liberated person fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service. This means one who has attained the perfection of life. And that person may not even be directly, just his example is giving us such encouragement and such conviction in our service to the Lord. And the other, he may not be a liberated person, but he is in a position of being empowered by Krishna to invoke the spiritual consciousness of the disciple by his relevant instructions. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami offers obeisances to both forms. Srila Sanatana Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers one the shelter of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavan due to forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavan and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. Sri Govindaji acts exactly like a Shiksha Guru, instructing spiritual master, by teaching Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. He is the original preceptor, for he gives us instructions and an opportunity to serve him. The instructing spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual masters is a personal representative of Srila Govinda Devi Vigraha. Both of these deities are worshipped at Vrindavan. Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction in spiritual realization. Such a beautiful explanation. Prabhupada here is explaining that the platform of Sambandha to establish our relationship with Krishna, that function is taken by the Diksha Guru, or the initiating spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, when he used to define what is Diksha, he used to say, it is the beginning of our spiritual life. When we actually take the vows of initiation, that is the beginning of our spiritual life. That is when we formally establish our relationship with Krishna through the Parampara. So then one may ask, well, what about for the whole year or 2 years I've been chanting the holy names and rendering service? Does that mean that that doesn't count until I'm initiated? The answer to this is that that time is invaluable and necessary to prepare yourself to begin. Just like if one is an athlete and he wants to run a championship race, he cannot just go to the race without preparing himself. He has to perhaps be in training for a full year just to qualify himself. And he may have to go through so many advanced trial runs, huh? Just to qualify himself. If he doesn't do those things, it's impossible for him to ever be qualified to start the race. But once he trains for a whole year, goes through all the trial runs, then he goes through the starting line, and then the race starts. But one should not be so foolish to think that if I have attained the starting line, I have attained the perfection of life. Some people, they think that my goal is to get initiated, and then after they get initiated, they leave. They think, now I have a guru. My life is perfect. That is a gross misunderstanding. Your life has begun, but now you have to follow the instructions of guru to actually begin to make real, tangible spiritual advancement. So Madanmo Mahan is he who establishes that connection to Krishna. And the Diksha Guru accepts that position of philosophy in the personal school of philosophy. To establish the principle of the existence of God, first we must establish that He is the cause of all causes, He is the source of everything, and actually there's nothing outside of God. He is within and without everything. So that means God is everything, and that is true. But then Krishna says, but at the same time, although I am within and without of everything, I remain separate. The example is the sun, that the sun's rays are radiating everywhere, and everything is within the sun rays, and the sun rays are within everything. But at the same time, the sun, the source, remains separate. Parashashaktirvivadaiva shruyate. This is what the Vaishnava Acharyas have established, that the Lord has innumerable energies, variegated energies. And through His energy, He is manifesting Himself as everything that exists in both the material and spiritual worlds. But He always remains separate in the sense that His personality is the source of all of these energies. After all, in order to surrender to God, we have to have a very, very deep faith and belief that there is a God. And so many people who follow religions, they have a very sentimental, superstitious belief system, but they never really, truly, in their own minds and hearts, face the reality that there is a God. Huh? Superficially, yes, yes, I believe, yes, I go to the church, I go to the synagogue, I go to the temple. But that actual belief, that actual understanding, that actual faith is still very weak. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that religion without philosophy is simply sentiment or fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. There must be the harmony between the two. In order for our devotion, our faith, to be firmly founded on a strong foundation, Krishna, before describing His beautiful leelas of Vrindavan, and before even describing most of the beautiful pastimes that He has with His devotees in the Bhagavatam, such as Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, all these great souls, He's establishing the philosophical principle of how to understand Him in the beginning. That He is the cause of all causes, that He is the source of everything, that nothing exists outside of Him. Therefore, first we must understand the greatness of God before we can enter into the Leela of God. in fact, in Vrindavan, there is no on reverence for the Lord. All the relationships of the Brijbasis with Lord Sri Krishna, Sri Radhikarani, are those of intimate friendship, intimate loving servitude, intimate parental affection or conjugal love. The concept that Krishna is the cause of all causes, that he is the supreme being, that everything is within him and without him, does not exist in the minds of the residents of Vrindavan. They are far beyond that. But in order to come to that state, first of all, we must realize the greatness of God. When we understand the greatness of that, then we can truly appreciate the real nature of his personality. Otherwise, we hear Krishna's pastimes, and we chant his holy names, and so forth. But we're thinking, Krishna, yes, he was cowherd boy. Yes, he danced on Kaliya's hoods. Yes, he is stealing gopis' clothes. And very much fun listening to these stories, and I know I'm being purified because he's God. But do we really have any idea of who this, what the nature of this person is that's performing these pastimes? Huh? When we understand the greatness, then we can truly appreciate what he is doing. And that's the beginning stages of spiritual life. And then after complete purification and detachment from this material world and divine love awakens, then we forget all the greatness of God and we simply enter into this intimate loving affair with the Lord. So therefore it is very important. That is why Bhagavatam, Krishna is beginning in this verse from the second canto, he's beginning by explaining how great he is. Once you understand how great I am, then you will understand my pastimes. Otherwise we take them to be ordinary. Avajananti mam mudha manushim taramashrita param bhavam ajanantam mam bhutameheshwaram. Krishna says, fools deride me when I come into this world. They do not know my supreme position, my supreme dominion over all the beings, of all that exists. So we should not artificially just try to shed tears loving Krishna in his divine lila, but we should side by side understand the greatness of Krishna, the glory of Krishna, the wonder of Krishna. Then we will not take his lila so cheaply. The word paschadaham indicate that the Lord exists after the dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. When the material world is dissolved, the Lord still exists personally in the Vaikunthas. During the creation, the Lord also exists as he is in the Vaikunthas. And he also exists as the Supersoul within the material universes. This is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Goloka eva nivasati. Although he is perfectly and eternally present in Goloka Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, he is nevertheless all-pervading, akilatma bhuta. The all-pervading feature of the Lord is called the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, aham krishnasya jagata prabhava. The cosmic manifestation is a display of the energy of the Supreme Lord, the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, display the inferior energy of the Lord, and the living entities are his superior energy. Since the energy of the Lord is known different from him, in fact, everything that exists is Krishna in his impersonal feature. Sunshine, sunlight, and heat are none different from the sun, and yet simultaneously they are distinct energies of the sun. Similarly, the cosmic manifestation of the living and living entities are energies of the Lord, and they are considered to be simultaneously one with and different from him. The Lord therefore says, I am everything, because everything is his energy and is therefore non-different from him. Hear the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophical treatise of Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, which is the fullest, richest understanding of the conclusion or Siddhanta of the Vedas, that that everything that exists is simultaneously one and different than the Lord. This material energy, the inferior energy that we are seeing all around us, and the superior energy, the jivatma, the spirit soul, They are all energies of the Lord. And they are one with the Lord in that it is simply the expansion of God himself. But different than the Lord in that Krishna is the complete whole. The living entity is all his parts and parcels. Like a sun ray to the sun. That is the difference between the Jivatma and Krishna. And the material energy also is nothing but Krishna. But at the same time, it is different than Krishna. In the various stages of philosophical development here in India, we find that Shankar, he taught the philosophy of monism, that everything is one. There is no differentiation. Brahman is all in all. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. That there is only Brahman. Everything else is an illusion. And to see that you are God, I am God, the table is God, everything is God, to see anything separate from God is an illusion. Because God is everything and everything is God. And that is true, but it is only partially true. And Madhvacharya, he taught the Dvaita school of philosophy, which was to try to create a balance from the monistic school of Sripad Sankaracharya. And he taught that everything is different than God. Dvaita means everything is two, everything is dual. Monism means there's no duality, there's only the one. Dvaita means everything is dual. There's always a separation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were actually, according to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they were both simply preparing the road for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come with the conclusion of all philosophy. Shankar taught monism, that everything is one. Madhvacharya taught Dvaita, that everything is separate, dual. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came Achintya Dvaita Veda Tattva, that everything is simultaneously one and different. That we are, that everything, not only the Jivatma, that everything exists is the energy of God, and there's no difference between the Lord and his energy. The energy is nothing but Krishna, the expansion of Krishna. But how wonderfully and inconceivably he expands himself in such a way that he remains the object of affection, the object of love for all of his creation. Therefore, achintya veda, veda tattva. Inconceivable means how everything is one with God, but at the same time different from God, is inconceivable to the mind. It cannot be understood. We may superficially say, yes, yes, I understand how everything is one with God, but at the same time different, because we are the energy and he is the energetic source. It's easy to say that, but do you really comprehend what that means? You cannot. The material brain cannot comprehend this principle, truly, of being simultaneously one and different than God. Therefore, it is called achintya veda veda tattva. It is inconceivably, God is inconceivably one and different from all his creation. And what does that mean? That word inconceivable, achintya, is so important. It means it is only conceivable by the grace of God. And this is the basic principle of bhakti. And this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. If it was conceivable, we could figure out this highest understanding of Vedanta by our own fertile brains. But because it's inconceivable, and that's the first word of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's description of his philosophy, inconceivable, it means we can never figure it out. We can never understand it. It is only by pleasing Krishna, by pleasing the spiritual master, that Krishna reveals the truths of how we are simultaneously one and different from him. It is something that must be revealed by the Lord himself. And this concept of achintya beda beda tattva is of vital importance to understand for all Vaishnavas of the Gaudiya line. Because factually there is no philosophical argument that can be presented by any classes of men that cannot be properly dealt with if we simply understand this principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Because all truths of all philosophies are included within this principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And it establishes in the most complete manner the absolute need to surrender to the personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. It is through this surrender only that the inconceivable makes himself conceivable. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. Yaya vashishyeta som yasyaham indicates that the Lord is the balance that exists after the dissolution of the creation. The spiritual manifestation never vanishes. It belongs to the internal energy of the Supreme Lord and exists eternally. When the external manifestation is withdrawn, the spiritual activities in Goloka and the rest of the Vaikunthas continue, unrestricted by material time, which has no existence in the spiritual world. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita it is said, yad gatva na vidartha nivartante tad dhamma paramamama. The abode from which no one returns to this material world is the supreme abode of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada is here explaining how the difference between the material energy and the spiritual energy. The material energy and the spiritual energy are both eternal. The difference is the spiritual, within the material energy, all manifestations are temporary, but the energy itself is eternal. And the spiritual energy is eternal, but all manifestations within it are also eternal. The difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, it is really on a higher level. On a lower level, we say that they are two energies. But on a higher level, we understand that they are one energy that is just being manifested in two ways. Mahamaya, or Durga Devi, is she that conducts all the affairs within this material world to keep everyone in illusion. And in the spiritual world, Yogamaya, that same energy in her representation in the spiritual world, is creating illusions only to increase the loving affairs between Krishna and his devotees. Recently we were in one beautiful holy place of Brajadham between Nandagaon and Barsana. It is known as Sanket. And Sanket is a place where Sri Sri Radha and Krishna would meet in a very, very intimate, loving mood. It is described that that place of Sanket was such a thick forest that the light of the sun could not even go through to touch the ground. It was always very dark and very quiet and very peaceful. And such a holy place that no males were allowed to enter into that. It was only the most confidential of the gopis, the sakis, manjaris. And even the cowherd boys, cowherd men, even Balaramji, they would never feel themselves fit to come into that forest of Sanket. And even the gopis who did not have the most specially intimate relationship with Sri Radhika, they would never come into Sanket. And there is one murti there, Sanket Devi, and she is the predominating goddess of Sanket. And if you see the murti, she's Durga with eight arms and everything like that. But she's in that manifestation of Yogamaya, Sanket Devi, she simply creates an atmosphere where everything is most conducive for Radha and Krishna to meet. That was a favorite meeting place of Radha and Krishna. So it is described that they would have certain signals of where to meet, when to meet, how to meet. And of course they met in very secret arrangements. So Sanket Devi, who was the controller of the nature of Yogamaya, she would create wonderful phenomena just to help Radha and Krishna meet to one another. For instance, the moon in the sky. She would create a beautiful smiling face on the moon, facing in a certain, eyes looking in a certain direction. And Radha and Krishna, when they would look at the moon at night, they were not supposed to leave the house, they would see that when the smiling face would come on the moon, this was the time to meet, and if the direction the moon was facing, looking, they would go there. Similarly, sometimes she would create, during the day, double or triple rainbows in the sky. This would be the signal, Radha and Krishna would come together. So you see, the Yogamaya potency is nature, but that presiding deity over nature is simply in Vrindavan creating wonderful, wonderful arrangements for Radha and Krishna to meet, for all the devotees to find great pleasure in Krishna's loving service. Whereas that same energy in this material world, which is actually a separated energy in the sense it appears different, is creating so many illusions just to keep people in the darkness of bondage. We look at the moon and we think, it appears this way, but what actually is it? That is why we cannot take very seriously what the scientists discover, because whatever they're seeing is under the spell of Maya. When we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that the description of the universe is much different than it is by the scientists. But there, everything they see is being disguised by the spell of Maya. Shukadev Goswami is explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam from a completely transcendental point of view. So obviously he's going to see something different. In other words, Yogamaya is going to reveal something much different than Mahamaya is going to reveal. So in this way, this is the difference between the material manifestation and the spiritual manifestation. Is the Yogamaya energy of the spiritual manifestation, everything is simply meant to increase one's remembrance and one's love for Krishna. And the energy of the material manifestation is all to try to make us, it is all designed to make us forget Krishna. Yogamaya is trying in all ways in the spiritual world to create an atmosphere where everybody is hankering more and more and more for the service of Krishna. And the Mahamaya energy is designing things in such a way that everybody is more and more trying to serve their own senses, their own lusty, passionate desires. So to understand, Parashisha, that the principles of the various energies of the Lord is a very, very important foundation for our spiritual understanding of life. Why are we discussing these things? Because we want, when we come to the divine Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we want to have a very firm, solid foundation of faith in the supremacy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not beginning by telling the pastimes of the Lord. He's beginning by establishing the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the absolute truth, as the cause of all causes, as the supreme being. After thoroughly digesting this transcendental material, then when we hear the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we, with great awe and reverence and appreciation, we will be able to approach this highest subject matter for the purification of our hearts. Is there any questions?
What is the difference between this Vishishta Advaita and then this Achintya Advaita? They are also present in one way.
That we will discuss in another. That's a long subject matter. The four philosophies of the Acharyas. there any other questions? Yes. Buddhism is nirvishesha sunyavadi. One is Vedist and one is impersonalist. What is the difference really? It's a subtle difference. Vedist is there's no mention of God. Ultimately, to become free from thoughts, become free from personality, just nirvana means a state of utter voidness. What Shankaracharya has done is he's defined the same thing but called it God. Brahman. Essentially, therefore it is explained that it is a veiled form of Buddhism. Buddhism is atheistic. Whereas Shankaracharya took an atheistic principle and put it in the name of theism.